Good morning, everyone. It is such a joy to be with you here today. I want to just quickly introduce my husband, Randy, who... Is that better? Okay. My husband, Randy, we've been married for almost 37 years, and he has put up with quite a lot from me. So I want to thank him very much. He has been a stronghold in my life. And there are two very special people sitting here today. Our friend Gus Astacio worked with me for 2 years coming out of that religious cult. And he has, I can't even begin to tell you how much he has helped me. And my friend Nancy Hutchinson, who studied with me for over a year. I exasperated her. I wore her down. She says I was the most exasperating Bible study she had ever had in her life. But I'm so thankful for these two people right here. I did not expect to see so many people here today. I've never shared my testimony in front of such a large crowd. But all I can say is thank you, Theocratic Ministry School. But I want to thank Joan for putting this together and for inviting me here. I know it takes a lot of work. For all the speakers, I've been so encouraged today and yesterday. Powerful testimonies and powerful speeches. I've been encouraged every moment. And this is my first time here, so this is a great joy. Thank you very much. I don't know about you, but I'm so happy to be free. Happy to worship God the way I want to worship Him. If I want to raise my hands, I can do that. If I want to stand up and shout to the heavens, I can do that. If I want to get a little happy feet, I can do that. We have the freedom to worship God the way we want to. Isn't that? Are you happy to be free today? We're going to get this right. Is that better? Okay. All right. Free. I know one thing I'm happy to be free from. Filling out those field service reports. Oh, Betty, you only did 2 hours this week. Free from that. Free from someone saying, I'm watching you. Free from feeling like a robot. You know, when I first came out, a sister in the congregation said, Betty, I admire you from coming out. You know I can't leave because I have relatives and friends. I'll lose my entire family. I admire you. I feel like a robot. You're free. And when we hung up, I just cried my eyes out because I felt pity for her and pity for so many who feel like they can't come out because they'll lose their family and friends. And that, it's just terrible. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The chains are gone. I've been set free. No more watchtower for me. And there are so many reasons why we're here today. We are here to encourage one another. We are here to get encouragement. There are those who have friends and family still in the watchtower, and they don't know exactly how to speak to them or what to say. So we are here for many reasons, but mostly to encourage one another. Just like Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I'm so happy to be sharpened by the Holy Spirit and sharpened by each and every one of you. Now, not everyone knows exactly the definition of a cult. Most of us do, but okay, for those who don't, what is the definition of a cult? And is the Jehovah's Witness faith really a cult? And with so many belief systems out there, how do we know we're serving God in the truth? What is the truth? You know, in this United States alone, there are hundreds and hundreds of cults in this United States, some ranging from the Flying Spaghetti Monster to the Westboro Baptist Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. The list goes on and on. So with all those belief systems out there, how do we know we're serving God in the truth? It is up to us to find what that truth is. You know, and the characteristics are very long of what a cult really is. And the truth is the Jehovah's Witnesses don't possess every single one of them, but they possess enough to make them false religion, to make them a cult. So I am just so happy to be free. And no matter what your beliefs are, whether they are a cult or not, for me, false religion. That's all I can say. And I'm happy to be free. You know, cults are not in line with the historical, biblical facts, and they stray away from the Christian traditions. It's a belief system that is not in line with the Holy Scriptures. Some add to the Scriptures, some take away, some claim they're a Christian, but don't even crack open a Bible. So how do they know? How do they know? And don't kid yourself either. I've heard this so many times before. Only the uneducated and poor fall into a trap of a cult. No. Prominent ministers fall into the trap of a cult. Professionals, nurses, doctors, why do they fall into that cult system? Because they're not firmly rooted in the Word of God. You can't just scratch the surface. You can't just read the Bible. You have to get into the Word. You have to know what God wants from you. Then you won't be tossed about like I was. My ears were tickled, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. My biggest problem is that I wanted to know the answer to every question out there. And if I didn't get the answer, I was mad and frustrated. Ask Randy. I went to this church, went to that church, trying to find the perfect church, perfect people. No, it doesn't work like that. I was obsessed with having an answer to every single one of my questions. I think my name should have been Eve instead of Betty, because I wanted that knowledge, all of that knowledge that God had. You know, nothing has changed since the beginning of time, since the from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. People want to know everything about God. Well, it doesn't happen that way. That would make us God, wouldn't it? You know, He revealed things to us. He's revealing things to us now. And He will reveal things to us in the future. But we will never know every single answer. And for I know it's not just me. I know many Christians who fall into that category. They're not happy unless they have an answer to everything. So I'm here to encourage you, if this is part of maybe something you need to let go of, just search the Scriptures and things will be revealed to you. But we have to come to that realization that not everything will be revealed to us. Job 11:7-9 states, "Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know?" So really, who do we think we are, trying to get all of that, every single answer and all of that knowledge? Yes, we're supposed to grow as Christians. We're supposed to mature. But there is a difference between getting obsessed with having to know every single answer. Okay. And, you know, Christians become discouraged if they don't understand or retain every scripture very well. Have you ever gone to a great sermon? Oh, wow, wasn't that a great sermon that the preacher just preached? You go out the door and you go, oh, what was it again? Sometimes it's old age, sometimes it isn't. But I think we've all had that happen to us. You know, we get discouraged if we can't retain or remember everything that's been taught to us. And here's an example. I'm going to share something with you. And I know you're probably thinking, when is she going to get to her testimony? Well, I'll get to it. Randy and I have 6 wonderful grandchildren, and a couple months ago, our 12, well, she's almost 12, granddaughter was sitting in church with us, and before the sermon started, she goes, "Mama, I just don't understand everything the preacher has to say. I just don't get it." And I go, Destiny, let me share a story with you, because this story, I think, really rings true. Now, this story takes in the place in the hills of Kentucky, but I'm going to change it to the hills of West Virginia. Go Mountaineers, right? So anyway, this story is about a granddad and his grandson. And you may have heard this story, so if you've heard it, you know, just bear with me. But I think it's a good one. Now, in West Virginia, folks call the granddads Pap, okay? So Pap and his grandson, on a regular basis, studied the Word of God. Well, one day the grandson, you know, he always wanted to be like his Pap. And one day they were sitting at the table together, and the grandson looks at the granddad and says, "I just don't understand what the Bible has to say. We read it and we close it, but I don't understand, and I forget. As soon as I close the Bible, I forget what I've just read." And so Pap said, "Now listen, Tommy, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that old, cold wicker basket, and I want you to take it down to the river, and I want you to fill it up with water, and I want you to bring it back to me." So the grandson takes that old, cold basket, and he runs to the river, and he fills it up. Well, you know that the water runs out of that basket by the time he got back to the Pap. So he runs to Granddad and he says, "The water's run out." And Pap says, "Don't worry about it. I want you to take that basket again. I want you to run as fast as you can. I want you to try harder. You fill up that basket with water and you come back to me." So he runs to the river. He fills it up again. By the time he gets back to Pap, it's empty. Water's come out. So the third time, Pap says, "I want you to work harder, run faster, go fill up that basket of water." So he runs, he fills it up, he brings it back. It's empty again. "Pap, this is not working. The basket is empty." And the granddad said, Pap says, "Now look in the basket." And for the first time, young Tommy realizes that the basket on the inside is clean. And so this is how it is with Christians when we don't retain everything, or if we don't, you know, we don't remember everything that we have just read. We are being cleansed from the inside. We are being renewed from the inside. So don't get discouraged if you don't remember or retain everything, or if you don't know the answers to all of the questions. Okay. Now, I come from a traditional Southern Baptist family. My parents, both my mother and my dad, grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and the ancestors just go back as far as we know, Southern Baptist. And actually, my great-granddad was a Southern Baptist preacher. So I was a Southern Baptist. However, I did not know the Word of God. I never cracked open a Bible. But yet I wanted all the answers. I wanted someone to tell me. I did want to know the things about God, but I never cracked open a Bible. So my dad, when he came back from World War II, his family had just completely split apart. Now, he had three sisters and two other brothers, so there were six children. When he came back from war, his family had split. The girls had converted to Jehovah's Witness, and they brought the parents in with them. But the boys remained Southern Baptist. So when my dad came back, everything had changed. Everything that he had learned or he grew up with had been changed and turned upside down. And so, needless to say, there was a lot of anger. Even today, the family is still pretty much split in half, because of the Jehovah's Witness religion. So, with that, I married Randy at a very young age. We traveled around the world, but I still had this thirst for God, and I went all over the place trying to find truth. But again, I didn't know the Word of God. My ears were being tickled, and I just went from one place to another. I felt like an empty water bottle just on top of a wave in the ocean, just being tossed about, not going anywhere, nothing inside fulfilling. So in 1989, you know, my husband was in the Navy. In 1989, we were being transferred from Virginia Beach to Hawaii. So in between that being transferred, I went to Alabama to visit my parents. And we were there for a few months. And one day, my aunt, who happened to live across the street from my dad, a Jehovah's Witness, called me up and said, "Betty, let's go for a walk." Well, the last thing my dad said to me when I walked out the door, "Girl, don't you let those people convert you now." Well, needless to say, it didn't take very long at all. Because when we went for that walk, guess what? Someone had the answers to all of my questions. Every single one of them. Isn't that amazing? Woo! Oh. So I immediately began to study with my cousins, and my cousins actually fought over who was going to study with me. So it was all exciting. Now, my parents were extremely angry. Family and friends were angry, but guess what? They didn't leave me. They had conditional love for me. They tried to keep me from going in, but they never turned their back on me. Okay. So when we moved to Hawaii, I studied with a Japanese lady for 3 years. Then we got transferred to Maryland, and I got hooked up with an elder's wife who happened to live on our street, and I studied with her for a year. So after 4 years of studying, I became baptized and became one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I was so happy. Oh, I finally got an answer to all those questions. Well, you know how things are. I know there are people here that have experienced this. You start studying with a Jehovah's Witness, don't you feel special? We got invited to barbecues, got invited out to eat. I felt part of a family. But as soon as you get baptized, what happens? All goes downhill. It's all phony. It's just it's different. You've become baptized, and so that newness has worn off. Now you're expected, like Gus said, to do your work, right? So as time goes on, years, I became very frustrated again because I started to see inconsistencies. I read the Trinity brochure, and I found errors, but I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything about it. No place else to go, right? Not supposed to question the watchtower. So I just kept on with it. Just kept on. And, you know, the truth can be hidden, but it can't be buried. That truth will always surface to the top. And here's an example I like to give you. Now, let me ask you this. Who raised Jesus from the dead? That's right. Galatians 1:1 tells us that God the Father raised Christ from the dead. John 2:19 says Jesus raised his temple or his body after 3 days. Romans 8:11 says the Spirit raised Jesus. And these scriptures are also found in the New World's Translation, unless they've changed it again. So what I'm trying to say to you is that we cannot take scripture out of context. We cannot pit scripture against scripture. Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for doing this, but so are other Christians. They'll pick a scripture out of the Bible and try to make a case out of it, and then you'll explain your scripture as if their scripture is incorrect. So it's pitting scripture against scripture. We cannot do that. We have to get into the Word, deep into the Word, so we don't take that scripture out of context. When we study and get to know God, it will all come together. So these three scriptures tell us who raised Jesus from the dead. It's not just one, but we have several to show us who raised Jesus from the dead. And that's the case for many things, many questions that we might have, you know, in the Bible. Okay. Now, we've all heard this numerous times. But, you know, doubting Thomas, right, when he had that conversation with Jesus. I had asked the elders this one time. I said, I really don't understand something, because in the New World's Translation, it talks about doubting Thomas and Jesus having a conversation. And when Thomas was looking at the nail-scarred hands, he said, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." And so I asked the elders, I go, "I don't understand this. If Christ is not part of the deity, why does the Bible say this?" "Well, we know the answer." What a foolish answer. It was like astonishment, like, oh my God, oh, as if the Jews would even think of talking like that. What nonsense. "My Lord and my God." So what did I do? I didn't go anywhere. No place to go, right? I just stayed put. Now, during this time period, as I was beginning to have other questions and other doubts, wasn't going anywhere, my son, who was baptized as a witness, my husband never took to it. My daughter, Michelle, never took to it. But my son, Scott, became a baptized Jehovah's Witness. But he grew up to be a teenager. Well, yeah. So, those rotten teenage years, I tell you, with him doing the things that he was doing, with my husband traveling, with me commuting to D.C. and working, I was really stressed. I was just stretched beyond my limits, well, so I thought, but of course, I wasn't keeping up with field service, so I think I was deemed spiritually weak, even though no one told me. But with the stress of my son and work, things were just not doing well. So I would go to the elders and ask them to, you know, for help, because, you know, I'm spiritually dying here. I need some help. No one ever came. You know, Julie kind of went out with a bang. I went out quietly. I begged for help. I didn't keep quiet. I begged for help. But the elders never came. They never put their arms around me and said, "Betty, what can we do for you? How can we pray for you?" Nothing. My husband and I got sick in 1996 with hepatitis A, which is food poisoning, from a very famous restaurant, very well-known restaurant. We were so sick that we couldn't even get up and get a glass of water. We basically just crawled back to the couch. It was the sickest we've ever been. I didn't keep quiet. I called the elders. "My husband and I are really sick. Randy and I are so sick. We don't expect you to come into the house, but can you leave some food on the doorstep? Can you help us a little bit?" Nothing. Not a thing. No prayers, no phone call, not even a meal. I was so embarrassed, because my husband was non-Jehovah's Witness, and I think at the time, I don't even believe he was a Christian, but I was so, so embarrassed. But I didn't go anywhere. No place else to go. So this kept going on and on. And people were withdrawing from me. And I even asked the elders, "What did I do? What did I do? Why are people shunning me?" "Well, you did nothing. You did absolutely nothing wrong. I don't know why you're saying that." Things got so bad that I called myself the Invisible Sister. Can you imagine being a Christian congregation and thinking of yourself as invisible? That's how I felt. I wouldn't let Randy see it, but I would come home crying. I would go to my room and cry, because I felt so empty and so alone. It's not that I wanted attention. I just needed help. But not one person wrapped their arms around me and prayed over me. Isn't that something? Things got so bad that they even stopped waving at Randy, who wasn't even a non-Jehovah's Witness. Can you imagine a neighbor? They wouldn't even wave at him. And one day I asked the elder's wife, I go, "How come the brothers don't embrace Randy and try to make him a part of us? You know, try to witness to him?" And the response was, Why should we do that? He'll never leave the government. What's the point? Is that the saddest thing you've ever heard? That is sad. That is wickedness. That's not love in Christians' hearts. That is non-truth. So all of these doors were being closed, door after door after door. All I felt was sadness and loneliness. And you know what? I did the unthinkable thing. Oh, I did a horrible thing. It's horrible. I started visiting other kingdom halls in the area. Oh, wasn't I a naughty girl? Oh, you can't do that. You can't visit another kingdom hall. But guess what? Nothing changed. I still ask the elders. I go, my son's slipping away. I'm slipping away. I need help. Help me. Not one phone call, and no one came to the door. Another door closed. But I tell you what was happening during that time period. Seeds were being planted by coworkers, by friends. And if you get discouraged because you don't get to see the result of a seed that you planted, don't get discouraged. God may never reveal that to you. But I can't begin to tell you how important those seeds were to me when He did bring me out. So seed planting is important. Let God take care of the rest. You just plant the seed and let Him take care of it. Now, one seed, many seeds helped me, but one seed I will treasure forever, and that's the seed my husband Randy planted. Because one day he looked at me and he said, "You know what, Miss Hoity Toity? You are judging other people, and what you're doing is wrong." And it crushed me because I grew up Southern Baptist, and my mother told me not to judge others because you will be judged. So that cut me right in half. But I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed put. Nowhere else to go. Now, in September of 2000, I gave a talk in the A school. And guess what my talk was about? False religion. Wasn't that a kicker, right? So I gave my talk. I worked really, really hard for that. But after I gave that talk, something came over me. Do we know what that something is? Something came over me, and I had to run out of that kingdom hall. I just about mowed people over after I gave my talk. I cannot describe, well, unless you experience the Holy Spirit, you know, I can't explain it. You have to experience it for yourself. I didn't leave. The Holy Spirit kicked me out. All right, so He kicks me out. And then I read a scripture, Isaiah 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand," and says, "Do not fear, I will help you." So for 2 months, all I did was cry, because there's no place else to go. So for the first time in my life, I got on my knees and I said, "Jehovah, help me. Where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go back to the kingdom hall? Because I'll go if you tell me to. Do you want me to go into Christendom? Where do you want me to go? You did not create the Christian congregation for us not to go and worship. I have to worship somewhere. Where do you want me to go?" So, prayer. I prayed for 2 solid months, and all I did was cry. Well, after a couple of months, I picked up the phone book, and I said, "Lord, I hate to do this, but I'm just going to thumb through it. I know that's hokey, but I'm just going to, you put me wherever you want to go." So I see an ad in the paper, or an ad in the telephone book. South Potomac Church, White Plains, Maryland, come as you are. Come as you are. I can come as I am? Can I really? So I picked up the phone, the associate pastor answered the phone. I told him I was a Jehovah's Witness. I needed help. He said, let me give you a name. Gus Sestachio. How about that? Gus was raised a Jehovah's Witness. He can help you. I got in touch with Gus, and the rest is history. I have picked that man's brain till I don't think he has anything left. No, he is something else. He worked with me for 2 solid years. 2 years. He never gave up on me. Isn't it amazing how God will put people in your path at the right time? Isn't it amazing? Oh. And then I hooked up with Nancy. Ooh, I studied with her for a solid year. And like I said, I think I wore her down, but she never, ever gave up. But you know something? After a year, I was still picking up the New World's Translation and comparing it to the NIV. And I was going back and forth, trying to find those answers. And but this Bible says this, and that Bible says that. And what, do you remember what you said, Nancy? Ooh. Nancy, one day in the Bible study, she says, Betty, will you put that freaking Bible down? I was shocked. This godly woman said, freaking Bible? And I started to cry. I burst out in tears, and she goes, oh, Betty, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. And I said, Nancy, you didn't hurt my feelings. I've been set free. I needed to hear that. Put the freaking Bible down. And the New World's Translation, mind you. So that was the beginning. And, oh, my mother, I'm so happy that my mother was still alive. And she knew that I came out. And she goes, Betty, I don't know how you did it. You came out of that stinking religion smelling like a rose. And I said, Mom, it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God. But you know, it didn't stop there. I'm sorry.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I was still dragging around the garbage. And Nancy took me to a women's conference. And that's when I learned to lay the garbage down at the cross. And I'm sorry. And if you drag around the garbage, if you still drag around the garbage, I implore you to put it at the foot of the cross. Because if you don't, you won't find joy and you won't find happiness. When I came out, oh, my prayers were answered for the first time, a personal relationship with God. Amen. And this is what makes it unique for Christians. You have that personal relationship with the Father. Christianity is unique because we have archaeology to support what took place. We have documented witnesses in history to prove every word of God is true. all of those doors closed. Every one of them was closed by God. I'm so glad that He closed those doors. He brought me out. No one else did. God brought me out of false religion. You can read all the books you want. You can go to every seminar under the sun. But unless you get rooted in the Word of God, you will not find that peace and that joy. What is it to be a Christian? We are to be followers of Christ. We are to get deep into the Word of God and get to know Him. We are to obey His commandments. We are to obey Him. We are to love the Father with our whole heart and soul. It's more than just one thing. It encompasses many things that make us unique and makes Christianity the truth. My family have come to Christ. My daughter's been baptized. My son's been baptized. Their spouses have been baptized. Some of my grandchildren have come into the faith. Oh, answered prayers. Like, I would be here all day explaining the answered prayers. So, I just want to encourage you to do this. I just want you, if anyone here is carrying baggage, whether you came out of a cult, whether you have substance abuse problems, whether you have roving eye problems, whatever your problem is, give it over to God, because we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ and we have more authority than what we even realize. The same power from the blood of Christ, that same power can get rid of the demons in our lives. Amen. It can make us whole again. And it can cure and heal the pain and the agony. Every single one of you in this room have been slapped down by something in life. Something. We all have a story to tell. Give it over to Christ. I mean, humble yourselves. And when I say give it, I mean give it. Quit dragging it around like it's attached to your hip. Right? Give it over. So, again, I'm going to thank you for having me. And thank you for letting me share my testimony. It's a pleasure to be here. And I thank you. And I just hope God blesses each and every one of you and your families. Thank you.